Tonight, I'd like to discuss one of the became now one of the pre-Pesach procedures that everyone's familiar with, along with the cleaning for Pesach and kashering for Pesach and preparing for Pesach, became a procedure also known as selling your chametz to the rabbi. As we'll learn tonight, it wasn't always like this. This is a rather new phenomenon in Klal Yisrael. Rather new, I'm talking about 300-400 years old. But this concept of what's pretty common today and done in almost every shul, where people sell their chametz not to the rabbi, because Rabbanim are not allowed to have chametz either, believe it or not. You sell the chametz through the rabbi. The concept that we want to discuss this evening is how legitimate and how correct is this practice? And is there anything we can do to make it more legitimate and proper? The actual mechira between the rabbi and the guy is also a very important and interesting discussion. We're not going to get to it tonight just because we don't have enough time to discuss which mode of kinyan the rabbi uses. There happens to be floating around the internet. You can get a video of watching Rabbi Willig sell his chametz. It's something kedai to watch. It's interesting. He gives you the other half of the share. What I'm going to discuss tonight is really between you and your rav. The part that he gives you, Rabbi Willig, is the relationship between the rabbi and the guy, which is also very fascinating, very interesting, but we're not going to have enough time to get into that this evening. So let's talk a little bit about the idea known as selling the chametz. If you look in the Gemara, there's a Mishnah Psachim. The Mishnah Psachim talks about selling your chametz to a guy. The Mishnah says that Kolzman, you're allowed to have chametz. It's not Aser Bahano yet, it's Mutal Moichel and Ochri. So there's a Tesefta. If you look at over here, number one, this is one of the earliest sources of what we know today as Mechiras Chametz. The Tesefta writes in the second parak of Psachim, it tells us a story. Yisrael v'nachri shayibayim b'svina. There was a Jew and a guy that were on a boat. V'chomitz b'yad Yisrael, and the Jew had chomitz on him. I don't know where he was traveling. I guess his hotel was in a boat somewhere. He was traveling to go away for Pesach, and he had chomitz on him, and it was almost his man. So what happens? So says the Tesefta, so I raise a machri l'nachri. He's allowed to sell the chomitz to the guy. V'noista b'matano, I give it as a gift. V'chayze v'lokach v'men alachar Pesach, and buy it back from after Pesach. This is what we do today. We sell it to the guy and we buy it back from him after Pesach. Uvulvad, however, sheyitan loy b'matan gemur. But it must be a complete gift, which means, although you have plans of buying it back after Pesach, but that's not stipulated or even said at the time of the purchase. You sold the chametz to the guy b'lev sham. You know, and I know, we all know that you're going to buy it back, but you have to stipulate that it's a full sale forever and the sale is a valid sale. Says the Tesefta further, Rasha Yisrael Shem Elanachri. Not only that, says the Tesefta, the Jew can tell the guy that Acha Ato Lekech B'mona Kach B'masayim, instead of buying it for 100, buy it for 200. Shem Itzarech V'Ove Ve'Kach B'mucha Achar Pesach. What do those words mean? So if you look in the number 2 from the Minchas Bikurim, one of the commentaries on the side of the Tesefta, he writes, Umiram is Lo Shiyikni B'mena Achar Pesach. That line means you tell the guy, you hint to him, that there's a very strong likelihood that I'm going to want to buy this chametz that I just sold to after Pesach. But, again, it's a legal sale, and the sale is binding forever. But I'm letting you know, there's a very strong chance that I might want to buy. Therefore, consider that when we talk about prices and buying, that's an option. Says the Minchas Bikurim, yeah.
And the
Tesefta
is talking about chametz gomer.
Yeah, chametz gomer. We're not talking about where you were talking about your pots and the blias. We're talking about chametz gomer. We'll get to all that. What exactly is included in the sale? Right now, we're talking about real, you know, bread. Chametz gomer. Says the Minchas Bikurim, after havi aroma, even though this seems to be a legal loophole, nikom akim shari. It's permissible. Why? Kibed mideraisa bebitol ba'al masagi. Because really, we're only really dealing with the world of derabbanan. And this is also repeated by the Bechor Shor, and Tefor Shor repeats this idea also, that the reason why Bechir's Chametz can get away with it is because you're right, it's haram, it's a loophole, and it's controversial. But what are we worried about? You did bittul. So if you did bittul in the world of deraisa, you're not over anything. Now we're only worried about is derabbanan. So derabbanan, no, you can do aroma in the world of derabbanan. That's the way he understands the tesefta. So this tesefta is the source for what we know today common practice as mechiras chametz. Now, one could have argued that this tesefta was a unique case. This is not what we should be doing every year. This was a strange case where a guy happened to be on a boat and he had chametz on him and he couldn't throw the chametz into the water because I guess he would need it after Pesach. We're not talking about what should happen every single year. This seems to be a unique, specific case. But nonetheless, this is the source for what we call today Mechiras Chametz. Okay? The Ritva in the Chafal from Psachim, on the Mishnah over there, with the Mishnah over there is talking about selling your chametz to the guy, he quotes a couple of very important things. He says like this, Kasav HaRabbeinu Yomtif, Hu Adin Litnoi. Why does the Mishnah keep on saying selling, selling, selling? What if I want to gift my chametz to a guy? You can gift it to the guy. He says the Ritva, El demilsa agavorchi kamashman, the asan litin legoy matin eschinim. Says the Ritva, the Mishnah is telling you they're not allowed to give gifts to goyim. Now, we spoke about this topic a while back in length about whether or not you're allowed to give gifts to a goy. I would have argued that over here you're not giving the gift for the guy's benefit. You're doing it for your benefit. So that might not be included in the prohibition of matin eschinim. But in any case, here we're saying that you have to sell it, you can't gift it. Fine. Says the Ritva, he quotes his Teseft, and he writes, "V'shom omru shereshai loyim elagoyach etalakich b'meya kach masayim shem itzarach v'ekach m'mcha achar pesach." But he adds three words that we don't have in the Teseft: "Uvulvad shelo yorim." You're not allowed to make this into a loophole. Avolim orim, but if you make it a legal loophole, what does that mean? Says the Ritva, "V'huraga lasis kem b'chol shonim." You do this every single year. The Hainu, what we do. Limkar legoy kaidim a pesach, lita lachar pesach. You do this every single year. Kan sinon le. We give you a knas. Vuhu asr loyu lecho yisro lachar pesach. And no one can eat the chametz. It's all chametz shavah pesach. Shasoki lu chametz shay yisro. Because we look at this stuff as if the sale never took place. And it was really like Jewish owned chametz. Hamufkad birushas goy. If I owned chametz, that's not in my house. It's a pikadim by the goy. Amoyve by Rabbi Yimatz. It's my chametz. Talim Bailus. Shu also lachar pesach. Va'avzal lepikodin eschavin. Says the Ritva, that's what you really meant. You never meant to sell it to the guy. You're fooling yourself. You wanted to play a game. I'm buying it and selling it. You're not selling anything. You're asking the guy in a nice way, hold on to my chametz for a week. That's awesome. Therefore, says the Ritva, what we do is completely not allowed. It's aroma. It's unacceptable. So according to the Ritva, we're in big trouble. So he doesn't get involved in this cheshbon of it's a drabon and heimamru. He thinks you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, what's interesting is if you look at other rishonim, other rishonim clearly didn't learn those words uvavach shalay arim the way the Ritva learned it. The Ritva learned it the most extreme way. Is that the way we do our mechiras chametz? The whole thing is a joke and you can't do it. If you look at number four, the Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbi Yerucham that he had a different girsa. And again, we don't have these words in our tesefta. Our tesefta doesn't say the words uvavach shalay arim. Doesn't say anything you shouldn't do a loophole, just says, do everything right. So the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yerucham writes like this. Number four. Says Rabbi Yerucham, Kasav alo tisef tizu b'shem b'bahag. He quotes from b'bahag, who says, uvalad shelo yorim. What do those words mean, uvalad shelo yorim? Ve'eni maven dvar of the hashari litin legoy v'matan v'alach z'v'lok achar ha-pesach. Ve'en lecha tarum es g'deil mezu. He said, I understand. Why are you not allowed to sell something and buy it back? I'm selling it to you completely. And then afterwards, we decide to renegotiate. It's not a crazy idea. And not common, but it's illegal. That would fly in the legal world. You sell something lechalutin, which means completely forever, and then you renegotiate. You say, you know, by the way, I had a little bit of regret. I want to know if you want to sell it back to me. So what does it mean? Vavash lo yarm says the Beis Yosef. The efshad de shlo yarm the karma hanu loy mashlo yimko loy vlo yitin loy alat tonight. So when it says shlo yarm, doesn't mean you're not allowed to do this every year. You're not allowed to do it. It means you got to make sure the sale is a valid sale. You can't play one of these trick sales and say, listen, I'm not really selling it to you. I'm going to gift it to you for a week and I'll menas, you give it back to me. Start playing those tricks. That you're not allowed to do. But to sell it completely with the knowledge that you're planning on buying it back, that's completely fine. So according to Rabbi Yerucham, according to the Bahag, what we do is okay. And this is clear. When the rabbi stipulates with the guy, he makes it very clear to the guy, or he should, is that this is yours completely. You own this chametz, it's your chametz. And I'm just letting you know, there's a strong possibility that after Pesach, we might take an interest in wanting to buy it back. That's fine. Right, the case of aroma is where you basically say to the guy, listen, do me a favor. I need to get rid of this for a week. You know, like someone does with taxes. They put things in people's name for a few days so they can get around whatever legal loopholes they need to do. That's not correct. Over here, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying it's yours for a week because I have a din that I gotta get rid of my car. I'm telling you, it's a mechira gemur. It's yours. You own it. And again, the rabbanim tell the guy, or at least they definitely should, it's yours completely. You can do as you want. But, what most of the time happens is the guy doesn't buy everything at the time. He makes what's called a down payment. Because you can have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shtaris for the guy to go through. He's got to figure out how much everything's worth and how much he's supposed to pay for it. So what the guy does, he makes what's known as a down payment. He says, listen, I'm buying everything, it's mine, but I'm not paying for everything. Now I'm going to make a down payment. Now, if the guy shows up to your house, Leil Pesach, Leil Seder, and he says, I was reading your Shtar Harsha, and it said, you got a great bottle of scotch. So what happens? Most women would call the police. Right, because some guy's coming to my house. Now, if you do that, you got big problems. Because not only are you possibly invalidating your mechira, you might be ruining it for the entire shul. And if the Rav sells it with a bunch of people, like the Rabbanim Tei Rebbe Willig sells with, so many communities he sells with, you might be, again, the Maisi, you're probably not, you might be invalidating all those mechiras. So the first thing you have to do is let the guy in. I always joke. They have big cabinets. They say, everyone writes in Hebrew, mochel a guy. I think you should either write it in Spanish or in English. Machal goy, my goyim don't speak Hebrew. I don't know who you're using, but the goy should know where he has rights to come in. So he's got to know. He walks into the house. He's got the cabinet on the left, the cabinet on the right. That's the proper thing. Again, we want to make this as real as possible, because if we make it into the joke, then the Ritva's right. It is a joke. We don't want it to turn it into a joke. This is a very big chreis.
But it is a joke. I mean, if you make a sale, you lay out exactly what you're buying, the specifics of
okay, good.
What items it is.
So that's,
buy something without knowing what.
So that's a very good point. That's what we're going to see, that when the mechira became a general mechira, it used to be, and I have svarim that say this explicitly, it used to be mechira's chametz was not like it was today. The rabbi was not involved. It used to be, and Rabbi Belsky, Yisrael Belsky, Zatzal, said it about himself. I heard this on one of his webinars. He said that when he used to sell chametz, he would do it by himself with a guy, his next door neighbor. He put a couple things in a box, brought to the guy, knocked on his door, and said, "Listen, I want to sell this to you. Between me and you, here's my box. Here, you see what you're getting." That's what it used to be, a private sale, and the guy saw everything. Now it became general. So the rabbi comes and says, "I have 150 pieces of paper over here that say a bunch of things in it. Just trust me that it's, you know." Many Achrayim were very against it. When it turned into that experience, Rabbanim said, this is a joke. And for that reason, many Rabbanim, many Gedolim were against it. You're 100% right. So we tried to make, we as Rabbanim try to make it as real as possible by making it say, listen, no, this is a real, you know, sit down and read through. The stack that the guy gets by Rabbi Willig is unbelievable. It's probably thousands of papers he's reading. You know, which guy is going to read through thousands of papers and say, oh, Taka, you know, I got a half a box of, you know, Cheerios, and I got a half a box of cookies and this and that. You know, people always ask, are you allowed to sell open the chametz? The answer is you can sell whatever the guy is willing to buy. Whatever's on the market is willing to buy. We'll talk later tonight, hopefully if we'll have time, is that what about people sell the blias in their pots to the guy? Now that to me, that's a joke. You definitely shouldn't sell the pots. But people sell the blias in the pots. And I thought this was ridiculous. There is no market value for blias. Even on Amazon, there's no market for blias. Who wants to buy an absorbed taste of a pot? I never understood this. I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky thinks that's also somewhat ridiculous. I found Rabbi Belsky also said, he said, well, what's that? You make the whole thing into a joke. If you sell blias, you mamish turn mechiras chametz into a big joke. We gotta make it real. Again, would a guy buy half a box of cookies? Why not? That'll buy. To buy blias, I think it's hard to believe. Now again, you could tell me that you tell the guy, listen, you're getting so many things here. Such a great package. So along with the package, throw in, you know, the blias. Fair hard to believe. I wouldn't buy it and I wouldn't sell it. Now again, halachically, you don't need to. Let's be very clear, you don't have to sell the blias in the chametz. You don't have to sell the blias in the pots. But I think if you sell it, you then cheapen the entire experience. So we want to make this as real as humanly possible.
But this intentional down payment, why would I do that to someone who doesn't have financial capabilities of buying all this? No, they're not buying. No, they only puts down a component, the bit of the money,
right,
at best, right? So then, and he probably gets that as a gift.
Right, but
there's $100,000 worth of stuff, and he gives $10,
right?
And he doesn't have $100,000.
Oh, I have no idea. You know, that's
well, of course they do.
Depends on the guy you choose. Rabbi Willig chooses a very successful guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's good for it. I gotta agree with you. I think the guy that people use are not correct. They try to find the most foolish guy they can think of, and they put him there. I think it's a joke. I've been to Mechiras Chametz with a guy. I don't think the Mechiras Chametz. The guy doesn't know which way's up. His mom is like he's a monkey. I don't mean to be so mean. They tell him do this. He does it. He does a Maisa Kaif. Picks up his hand. Does this. He has no idea what's going through his brain. It's mamish a joke. I think Rabbi Willig's right. You should try to take the most, again, the problem is if you take the most intellectual guy, you know, he might outsmart the entire system. He'll be like, one second, this doesn't make any sense. And then we'll be in bigger trouble. But you want to take an intelligent guy that understands what's going on and understands business somewhat, and he can make this as real as possible. Again, this is all part of why there are people today that are very skeptical of this, and perhaps for good reason, perhaps not. This is the way it presents in Rishonim. If you look at number 5 in the Rush quotes that they said exactly the way we have. It tells you the story. Now, does that mean, and therefore, because of the story, I'm allowed to do this? Hard to know. He just quotes the story the way we have it. And the Rambam does the exact same thing. Interestingly enough, we know the Rambam is not here to tell you stories. The Rambam is here to tell you halacha. Yet when the Rambam brings it down to number 6, and Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, the Rambam writes that it's Yisrael, v'akim shayibayim b'svina, he tells you the story of the Tesefta. Now, why would the Rambam tell you the story? He should tell you the halacha. So one could be medayik from the Rambam that it's dafka in a case where it's dafka, a funny case where you're on a boat and you have no other options. Mashiach, if you're sitting in your house and it's just a question of, do I want to throw out the box of noodles, do I want to save the box of noodles, it might be a different conversation. But the Rambam quotes like this, Yisrael va'akam shayiboyim b'svino, v'yichamet b'yad Yisrael, v'yigia shol chamishis, harei zeh machu la'akam, oy nasl matono, v'choy zeh v'lokham meno achar pesach. V'vachit in a loy matono gemura. Clearly the Rambam says you can do it as long as it's real. And then he goes to the second half. Omer Yisrael Akam Achat Alak of Amani. He goes through the whole story the way we have it. But he writes, Avalo Yimkar Velo Yitnolal Tanai. The Rambam clearly was going like Rabbi Yerucham's Pshat. Not that you're not allowed, you're just not allowed to make it a joke of a sale. Now, do I know that this Rambam means once in a lifetime story? Maybe, because he quotes the story of the Tesefta. If the Rambam meant that me and you can do this every single year, why does he tell you that they were on a boat? That was a storyline that was made because of a specific story. So one could be medayik from this Rambam, I'm sure there are others who make this diak, that the Rambam only meant the case where you happen to be find yourself on a boat with a guy and you need the chametz for afterwards, so then you're allowed to sell. But if you're sitting in your house and you just don't want to get rid of it, the Torah says you should get rid of it. Maybe. Not clear. But what you do see from the Rambam is that the Rambam definitely was open to the idea that you could make this real as long as you make it a real sin. The first Rishon that we find who really clearly expresses our Mechiras Chametz is the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Trumas Hadeshen asks it as a Shaila. Now we know that Trumas Hadeshen wrote his own Shailas. So this could have been one of those Shailas and Tshuvas where the Trumas Hadeshen wanted to get the word out to the public. And he found the following Shailas in the Siman Kuf Chaf. Shaila. Mishiyesh biyodoy in Yonei Chametz Samelech Pesach. Guy has a lot of chametz in his house around Pesach. The kasha of levarim, it's hard to get rid of it. Guy has hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars worth of produce. He doesn't want to get rid of it. So what do you? He wants to give it belave shalom to the guy. Here we're talking about matonas. We mentioned earlier that you can't give matana. Here the Rishonim keep on saying matana. And I know that this guy has no interest in my half boxes of cereal. Elo yisham la'alachar Pesach v'yachsev yitin oloi. This is Mamish Armachir's Chametz. You know that the guy really has no interest, but he'll take it. I'll take it to you for a week and I'll make it real. Is it good? Answers the Trumas Hadeshen, Yira de Shari, permissible. This Trumas Hadeshen is the source for Armachir's Chametz. It's one of those, I know you know the way this is going to go down. But again, no one says it. No one says that I'm only selling it to you all tonight for a week and after a week it's bottle. And no one says that, you know, wink, wink, let's make it. I'm selling it to you, but I know and you know. Fine. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, Yira de Shari, Rakshi Yitanoi Matona Gemura Bali Shum Tanai. You can't make any condition that has to be completely legitimate. You can sell it. But everything's got to be done Kedasu Kedin, although I know and you know, that's fine. As long as everything is done Kedasu Kedin. So this Trumas Hadeshen is really what we all hang our hats on. This Trumas Hadeshen. Now, you could say. No, it's the same thing. He says, Oi Shiyim Chola Mechir Gemura, or you sell it.
No,
that matana means that I'm gifting it to you not to mean really yours for long term. I'm giving it to you for a gift for 7 days.
I understand, but
the Beis Yosef's aroma meant shalayim kaloi means you don't really sell it to him, v'loyitin loy al tanaim, which means I'm not really giving it to you. The Beis Yosef means when I want to basically say to you, listen, I'm not really selling it to you. I'm just basically saying that, you know, for 7 days, you know, it's gonna be yours for halachic purposes.
No,
he's the Efshar Shoyim Gemma Hain Loim Shoyim. Yeah. No. He's saying that that shouldn't be. Vavilo Hachishari. The Beis Yosef was asking as a kasha. He's quoting the Bahag who thinks that shouldn't be a problem. He thinks that should be okay. He's asking like a kasha. Why are you going to call that Arama? Why is that Arama? That's a very important dick. The Trumas Hadeshen sounds like you got to get it out of the house. We don't do that. That's why I told you earlier, Rabbi Belsky does do that. We don't do that. How do we get around that? We'll see in a minute how we get around that. So you could also argue, this is talking about a case of a kasha of levarim. It's hard to get rid of it. If it's not hard, so then maybe you shouldn't do it. Again, Shulchan Aruch quotes this Trumas Hadeshen Lahalach. If you look in number 8, says the Shulchan Aruch, Chomet Shah Yisrael Sha'avar Lav Pesach Asabana. Everyone knows Chomet Sha'avar Lav Pesach Asabana. Afilu Heniach Shaygay Goyanis. Even if you didn't do it on purpose, but you forgot to get rid of it, so it's us. You see the same words? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the same thing. You gotta get it out of the house. Even though I know the guy. I know the guy has no interest in actually taking these things. He's gonna basically guard it. The Yachzib Yitnenolai, and he's willing to give it back to me. Mutter. However, tonight. You gotta give it a full matana without any conditions. You can't play Amanas Lahachzir. Oi, you gotta make it a full sale, but davar mut. Avo, matana Amanas Lahachzir. But if you give it a matana Amanas Lahachzir, loy mahani, it doesn't work. The question is, why not? The Gemara Kiddushin says that if everything matanam lahachz, it works. So the truth is, the whole reason why it doesn't work is a Trumas Hadeshin. This Trumas Hadeshin, I cut off, I didn't go through the whole piece. Part of the piece of Trumas Hadeshin is where he brings up this idea. Why can't you give matanam lahachz? It's valid for everything else. So he says, Chumr duchametz, we don't want to do it. And the Bar Halacha has a whole discussion about it, but that's the accepted custom based on Shulchan Aruch. We don't do matanam lahachz. It's gotta be, this is yours, and you tell the guy, this chametz is yours forever and ever and ever. This is not a temporary sale, this is a long-term sale. I'm just letting you know, I might want to buy it back from you if you're willing to sell. If you're not willing to sell, by all means, you're not willing to sell. I'm just giving you that option.
What's the thing, like, you know, a lot of Rabbanim or groups have the same guy for 30 or 40 years.
Right.
I mean, he knows the routine.
That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Avbisha Yisrael Makiroi, I know. Leini Yehudi Viyad the Bashli Yigal. That was the case of Shulchan Aruch. I know that the guy has no interest in eating it, and I know he's never going to actually come to my house. That's okay. That's okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we all hang our Mechiras Chametz on the Shulchan Aruch. That's clearly. And that's where the Shulchan Aruch brings it, come out word for word. That's what we're saying.
Does the guy need to have access to the Chametz?
Yeah, that's what we have to get to that. We're gonna have to get there. Sure, we're gonna have to talk about that. How does that make it real? If you tell the guy, yeah, you own all my, you know, rabbi comes to the guy and says, okay, I'm selling chametz on behalf of my whole kila. Great. Now, where do they live? I don't know. Where are their addresses? I don't know. But it's yours. You should know. That would never fly in the real business world. So you have to be detailed. That's why we write up, before you go to the rabbi, you write up what's called a shtar hashoh. Now, there's a lot of different versions for a shtar hashoh, how to word it, how not to word it. The basic text of the shtar hashoh is supposed to express that you're appointing the rabbi as your agent to sell the chametz on your behalf. Fine. And then you're supposed to stipulate where your chametz is. You explain to him, first of all, you have to explain it's in your house or your office or your summer house or your second house. That's fine. Then you have to stipulate where in the house it is. So this way the guy knows what he's getting. And then you're supposed to give an approximation of how much you think it's worth. Because if I'm buying something from you, I want to know what it's worth. Any businessman knows you don't buy things until you know the value of them. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously it's an estimation. No one really knows exactly how much all their chametz is worth. Again, especially with the schnapps, it gets complicated. Someone last night was tying to me, well, he buys all his stuff duty-free. So now he doesn't really know how much it's worth on the street market. I said, okay, you're making this too complicated. I think the point is ballpark what you think it's worth, what the guy thinks he's getting. Because you want the guy to know what he's getting. And then the guy has to have access to it. Because again, if I sold you something, I said to him, it's yours, but you can't get to it. That would be a big aroma. That wouldn't even be a mechira. That would never work. Again, what I think people need to do is think about this mechira's chametz in the context of a business deal. Think about this as if you're doing a business deal, buying anything else in the world that people sell today, merchandise, real estate, anything. If these were some of the stipulations, then how real would it be? If you told someone a piece of property, said, I want to sell real estate, but I'm not telling you what it's worth. No one's going to buy anything if they don't know what it's worth. Or if I tell you, I'm selling you a piece of real estate, but I'm not telling you where it's located. That's never going to work. Why would I buy something I don't know where it is? So this, again, these types of things are just basic chayshim mishpat problems that can make the mechira not real. Now, so basic, akpi shulchan aruch. Before we get to anything fancy, akpi simple shulchan aruch, this mechira's chametz is allowed. I think that's the argument. The reason why all the rabbanim do it is because the shulchan aruch says you can do it. It's pretty clear. You can do it. Now, the Bach writes something interesting. He says, u'medinazu, sheroiv masa u'matan hu b'yayin sarf. One of the earliest reasons why Mechiras Chametz became so popular was because the Jews used to be in the alcohol business. They were in the schnapps business, the Yayin Tzarev. They're in the schnapps business, the whiskey business. And that was their livelihood. That was how they lived. And to tell them to get rid of all the schnapps before Pesach would push it, put them out of business. So the Bach writes, in Medina Zoo, in this country, Sherev Mas Umat Hu B'Yayin Tzarev, most of the business of the Jews were in liquor. V'yef Shalahem L'machem L'goy M'chutz L'bayis. And it wasn't very practical to get it out of the house. You're not going to take your whole stock of bottles and bottles and start schlepping it out. Befrale machzikim borunna yesh lahat ben yizen sheimkol legoy kol chametz shebecheder vegam hacheder atzmo yimkol legoy. Because the Trumas Hadeshin kept on saying it has to be out of the house, and I heard him talk about why. So we came up with another way to get around this problem. We make it the guy's house. It is the guy's house. It's not in my house anymore. I sell. Or I lease to the guy the place not only of where the chametz is resting. So now the room or the shelves now belongs to the guy. So it's technically outside my house. So you see from the Bach that one of the earliest motivations for Mechiras Chametz, and this is a historical bit of information, was due to the fact that people had schnapps. Schnapps is a shaila if it's chametz gum or teruvus chametz. We'll see what Rav Soloveitchik said about it hopefully later tonight. But that was the original motivation for selling chametz. And then it kind of trickled to the point where, oh, I have boxes of noodles and now I have bread. And that's why we started selling our chametz.
What country was that?
Sorry?
What country?
I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, where that was the... the way it used to go down. The Bach, I don't know for sure where the Bach lived. In history, we're talking about now, give or take the 1700s, the time when the Bach lived, maybe a little earlier even. But that's just the time of history.
I thought it was
Poland, Russia. It could be. This was the time, this was popular, that all the Jews were in the schnapps business. It was a big industry. They sold it to the Goyim, they were the distributors, so to say. Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Rabbanan that were concerned about, the Raisas, right? So what
So there's the Rabbanan still. But the Rabbanan, they're afraid you're going to come to eat it. No, it's not by Rabbi Matzah. We're afraid you're going to eat it.
Okay.
You still might eat it. Again, you see chametz, you might eat it on Pesach. If you eat the chametz on Pesach, it's also going to be over. You're not going to be over by Rabbi Matzah, you'll be over eating chametz on Pesach. Okay. If I eat a goy's chametz, if I steal a hot dog from a goy, when I go to the baseball game, I think this year opening day for the Mets is Erev Pesach, someone told me. I think a Talmud of mine told me it's Erev Pesach. So I said, is anyone going? He told me, yeah, tons of from you are going. Because the game starts at 1, Pesach starts late. So they're going from 1 to 4. They're going to go watch the Mets in City Field. Okay. Fine, very good. I don't know if that's the right way to spend their Pesach, but okay. Not for now. So that's what you're going to go to. You're going to go to and you're going to buy a hot dog. So let's say, okay, so if you buy a hot dog, the hot dog becomes yours. Now you have a buy your own muscle. You're the guy, whatever. You steal the guy's hot dog, right? So now you eat the hot dog. So I don't own it. But you still have you're eating chametz. So we're worried that even if the chametz doesn't belong to me, halachically, you may come to eat it. So therefore, we want to get it out of the house, out of sight. We don't want it around. That's one of the reasons why they want it out of the house. Why do I have to take it out of the house? It's not my chametz. The answer is we're afraid. You're going to come to eat it.
I'm saying independent of the sale, then.
100%. 100%. So that's why some people take it physically out of the house, and some people put up a mechitza. They put up barriers, so this way you don't see it, this way you don't come to eat it. We're too afraid of it.
Bach was born in 1561 in Lublin, Poland.
Okay, there you go. Take it back.
Krakow,
okay. Right, the Bach was the father-in-law of the Taz. That's the way it goes. The Bach and the Taz were father-in-law and son-in-law, right? I'm not sure. I don't know. He was born. Right. He died in the... Right, so he was a little earlier. I take it back. It was the mid-1600s. So that was back then. We're talking about already. We're going back now to the 1600s. We're talking about 500 years already. This has been somewhat the practice of selling chametz, at least that much. You can go back to the tradition, even earlier. That they were selling chametz. Okay, so there's a sefer called Mechiras Chametz Kilchase. Go figure, right? It's a terrific sefer. Yeah, I wonder how he came up with the name. So over there, he writes over here number 10. He writes, "Metchila ha'yikol echad shi'esh b'rishus chametz ha'ylech ba'atzmi l'nachri." This never used to be a rabbinic responsibility. This used to be a private responsibility. You had chametz, so you went to your goyish neighbor and you sold your chametz. U'moichelo is called chametz kedas kedin. You did everything because you knew all of chayish mishpat. You knew all of arachaim. You knew how to sell chametz. Because so many problems happened, that's why it changed. It became the rabbi's job. Why did it become the rabbi's job? Because people are doing it incorrectly. They didn't know which kinyan to use for a guy. They didn't know halachah ma'is. It could be they know the sugyas, right? You go through the sugyas, it comes up in a bunch of places. We spoke about it in the Sunday morning show many times. What kinyan do you have for a guy? Do you have kesef, shtar, agav, meshicha? So a lot of people learn the sugyas, but they don't know halachah ma'is what you do. So we made it the rabbi's responsibility. However, if you look at number 11, there Chasholchan writes, "V'hinei mechiras chametz shalonu hanoig mikama v'kama doyish lefaneinu kachu." He says mechiras chametz is not a new thing; it's been around for many generations. How does it look? Shekol bali hachametz choytzmin es atzmei harsha. So already the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that the way it used to look was the way we do it today. We make a shtar harsha, which means you give the Rav the right to do it and someone else is doing it. So it's not clear when exactly in history the Aruch HaShulchan was calling this that we've been doing it with a shtar harsha, which means someone else is doing it, not me myself. However, in history there were tshuvas svarim clearly written that when the switch was made, people got very upset. Gedolim got very upset. If you look at number 12, he writes, "Ach nechelku ha'poiskim in mechira kololi is kizu ma'ilo." There are those achrenim that thought the way we do it today is not correct. Not because of our Rama. Not because the concept is not correct. The way we do it is not correct. Why? Kashe das rabbi mehem shehi ma'ilo. Ve'ilu das rabbi macherim shehem lam toikiv mechshash. Shehen anach visay mechshash ka mechira amitas. The guy says himself, this is such a joke. I have a rabbi selling me 100, 300, 500, 1,000 people's chametz. How real can this be? I have no idea what I'm getting. If it's me and you one-on-one, so I can sit there and I can explain it to you. You know, for the guy to read all of the Shtari Harshas, you could be talking about thousands. What type of sales where the guy says, what am I getting? I have no idea what I'm buying. I have no idea what I just sold. What's going on over here? Therefore, many Gedolei Achreinim were very against this communal sale that we do today, because they thought it really cheapens it. Therefore, they write, Well, the fichach lemaisa haminik shloy lismach al mechira lahashet chametz gomer kishayim b'zehev semiruba. That's why many people don't sell chametz gomer. Not so much because of the ritva. The ritva we can assume we go like the chumis hadeshin. But the way we do it is so questionable. It's really not right to do so. If you have some iruba. So that's why so many people were against it. Reb Shlomi Kluger wrote a very strong tshuva where he told the other rabbanim, he said, listen guys, if you saw all the amaratzis that goes around in my town, you would be much happy that the rabbi does it. Because again, if you're going to allow individuals to do it, you're running into trouble. Not every individual is so knowledgeable. So Reb Shlomi Kluger, so to say, came to the defense of it, but there are still today, and many achrenim back then, when they kind of switched over to being rabbinic responsibility, people were extremely hesitant. Okay. So again, if you want to sell chametz, that's completely up to you. If you want to get rid of all your chametz, you get rid of all your chametz. That's up to you to go through the sugya and decide, do you think this is a game? If Shlomo Zalman writes an interesting minig, he writes, Gamim niku basic kidin vohitzi kol chametz merishusa. Even if you taka got rid of all the chametz, you cleaned out your house. No chametz. Yasek kol seder hamechir lenachri. You should still go through the whole procedure. V'chein haminig. That's the minig. What's the pshat? So he writes in the bottom, why? Shekedei lechazek ulahashrish belibay bir ubit al chametz, nogu lahasra afilu chshash kolashuhu, ulimka lenochi kol chshash chametz. He said to the guy, I know I cleaned my house, and I had extra cleaning help, and I'm telling my house is packed. But nonetheless, in case there is any chametz that I missed, no, that's not going to belong to the guy. Vav sheulai ein das hakoinus emechas liknes perurim by bliya shebekelim b'fnei atzman. You say to yourself, what's the guy buying from you? He's going the chance that there might be chametz. Mikom makim b'tzir of kol chametz shenim kol idea rav shaper sam chadayt al kol mechiris. So Shem Zalman speaking out over here that you're right. It does sound very funny, but because your neighbor who's also selling with the rav, he's selling real stuff. So the guy says to himself, you know what? So I get from one guy real chametz, from one guy I get his maybe chametz. Okay. It's worth it for me. It becomes a package deal. And if Shlomo Zalman says, that's why people, the guy is willing to buy it. And interesting.
Why are you helping yourself? You have to know what you're selling.
You're selling yourself. You're saying to yourself, on a case that there is chametz somewhere in my house that I might have missed, that it's going to the guy. I did it all. But I'm hoping, no, so the answer is that we sometimes have to talk about. If you did bittel, so then what are you selling to the guy? It's not yours to sell to the guy. Yeah. That's part of the issue which we still have to deal with. Okay. Yeah.
Again, in terms of the Hesed Meruba, how does that trump?
So that's the question. The question is, so that's the argument. Do you say that the whole thing is a joke and a game and it's worthless, or do you say no, it's valid? It might be questionable. It might be not lechatchila, but we know we do things that are somewhat b'di'evit when there's a shasat chak. So hefsim meruba is no different than a shasat chak, which we have the right to be a little bit more meiko, and that's what this is. Again, if this was a game, you can't do games. No, but again. After all the smoke clears, the Shulchan Aruch allows you to do it. Now, the Shulchan Aruch never said you're allowed to do what we do today, this general selling. That's what Achrayim were against. So if you want to be against that, I'm okay with that. When people tell me they're against Mechiras Chametz, you have to know where you're coming from. So the truth is, everyone knows the Vilna Gaon. If you look at number 14, the Vilna Gaon, and Maaser Rav is quoted, Shoylimka Shum Dover Chametz, the Vilna Gaon would not sell any Chametz, Ki Im Mechire Lomis. He would never get it back. That's it. It's yours forever. The Vilna Gaon didn't go for this buying back game. The Vilna Gaon, everyone knows the Vilna Gaon didn't believe in selling Chametz Gaon. Okay. So if you look over here on the side, they bring that from Reb Chaim Volozhin, that they say, Oymrim b'shem ha-goyin, v'ani amarti came min urusi shetzorich lahatval ha-keim shemachon l'nochi yim ha-chametz. It used to be that back then, at least, we don't do it today, no Rav does it today, but back then apparently they were selling the chametz with the kelim, and the Vilna Gaon said, you have to tevel the kelim afterwards. If you sell chametz, if you sell your kelim to a guy, you buy it back, you have to tevel your kelim. Now granted, that might not be such a bad idea, because the kelim mikvah now are very busy. They're not so busy after Pesach. So it might be the end of the world, but you won't have to wait online like you do today to get into the Kelim Mikvah. But we don't do this. We don't sell the Kelim because of this problem. There is an Aruch HaShulchan in Yeridei and Hilchot Tefilas Kelim where he tries to be miyashiv why you wouldn't have to tevel the Kelim if you buy them back. But the Rav doesn't do that. If you go to the Rav, he's not going to sell it for you because he's going to tell you, we're not doing that. But clearly back then, in the times of Vilna Gaon, that's what people would do. Okay. So people were concerned that chametz got stuck to the Kelim. You can't clean it out. Today we do, but you'd be shocked. What? No, but there's chametz attached to the kelim.
Edible?
Sure. If you don't want.
No.
Noodles are sometimes very hard to get out. Again, you have to remember, back then, they didn't have nearly the cleaning systems that we have, right? They had, their hand and some water. So I can clearly see how a piece of noodle can get stuck to a bottom of a pot and still be there. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, sometimes when I do the dishes, that happens, you know, and then I do it again. But, okay, obviously put something in the dishwasher, fine, it does a good job. But even dishwashers, it does not always get everything off. That's where the Vilna Gaon comes from. So if Soloveitchik was very clear about his opinion. If you look at number 15 from Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes from Soloveitchik, Rabbeinu hayu tamid ma'ir b'chol hashana. Soloveitchik used to always point out a whole year long. Gam l'talmidav shebi yeshiva, not only to the Bachim, but gam l'babayi shemuria, shle yesmichu al-mechiras chametz l'chametz dog and gomer. Ben, Rav Soloveitchik was never keen on the idea of selling what we call today chametz gomer. What is chametz gomer? Chametz gomer is when it's basically the majority of the thing, of the food, is real chametz, such as noodles is chametz gomer, bread is chametz gomer, pretzels, these are chametz gomer. So, schnapps we'll have to get to. Rav Soloveitchik was back and forth about schnapps. But chametz gomer, that's not, Rav Soloveitchik said you should not sell it. Why? El rak l'taruvas chametz. What you're allowed to sell is what we call today taruvas chametz. What's taruvas chametz? It means the majority of the thing is not really chametz. But there's a part of the dish, less than roiv, that's chametz. The most common example is in condiments. You have in ketchup, you have in mayonnaise, and you have this in some salad dressings. That's what Rabbi Belsky used to sell, these types of things. They're called taruvas chametz. It's only us and the Drabon. So if Soloveitchik held that on something which is only us and the Drabonon, you have the right to do something which is an aroma. So therefore, you're allowed to sell those things which are drabon, even though it might be an aroma, because an aroma and a drabon is mut. That was of Soloveitchik's cheshbon. However, on bread, cookies, pasta, he never would allow, or he wouldn't say that that's the right thing to do. This idea is found by others, but we'll find Namish Mikotz al-Kotz from Rav Moshe Feinstein. In Rav Moshe Feinstein's Haggadah, he writes, Av Shemekra did muta limchor chometz mamish, even though you're allowed to sell chometz gomor. Right, that's another term you hear people throwing around. I sell chametz gomer, I don't sell chametz gomer, I do sell, I think about selling it. That's one of those, you know, important questions. It's like I always say, when you come back from the rabbi, it's almost like you went voting. People want to know, what did you do? Did you sell chametz gomer? Didn't you sell chametz gomer? You know, it's a private experience between you and the rabbi, what you did. Did I sell chametz gomer? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But Rav Moshe held you allowed to sell chametz gomer. And he adds, V'hayrim moron, and Rav Moshe paskin, shekach haminuk. I think almost every rabbi today sells chametz gomer. I think, I can't say for all of them, I think most rabbanim today do sell chametz gomer. They allow it, they will sell it. If you don't want it, that's up to you, but I think most rabbanim will give you the option to sell chametz gomer. Ulam, however, bebeis maron, in Rav Moshe's house, lo yimachu chametz ben. Rav Moshe would not do so. Ulam nogu limka chashash chametz v'taruvus chametz. Rav Moshe will sell those things that are questionable. Are they really chametz? Are they not chametz? No, those things you sell. Kidney is you don't have to sell. Kidney is a maker that you don't have to sell. I think Abba Shavais points this out, that in some earlier shtaris, from earlier achrenim, you did find that they put kidneys into the shtaris, and no one really knows why, because kidneys you don't have to sell. On the footnote, in the Haggadah...
Because they might have been afraid that there was some...
That's why we don't eat kidneys. But to say that today, if you want to, you know, the kidneys that we have today, it's hard to believe that you shouldn't be able, that you shouldn't be allowed to have. The minhag today is we don't sell kidneys. You want to sell it, you can put anything you want in the shtar, but you don't have to. So he quotes over here from Reb Shimon Eider's Sefer. Reb Shimon Eider wrote a very nice English Sefer on Hilchas Pesach. So over there in the footnote he writes, Rav Sefer Hilchas Pesach Chelik Aleph, Amud 123, Yahar Memdal, Shom Shehevi, Shoshama P. Moran, that Reb Shimon Eider said he heard once from Reb Moshe, the Ikra Atakan Hoist of Shul Chametz Gomer. Faket. Not only you allowed to sell Chametz Gomer, that's why they made it up. Only so much better in Yiddish. If you're not selling chametz gomer, what exactly are you selling? Are you selling to the guy, you know, the bleas and all these other things? Ramesha, that's what you're selling to the guy. So Ramesha was very okay with selling chametz gomer. Again, he didn't. He was personally machmir. That's fine. But he thought there's absolutely nothing wrong with selling chametz to the guy. Again, Rav Soloveitchik was against it. Rav Moshe was seemingly pro it. If you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes in number 17, Ulchein, Mishi Yesh Laharbe Chametz Shein Yochel Levar Min Oilem, a person has a lot of chametz, and he doesn't want to burn it. Tzarech L'Marchul Eni Yehudi Kadma Pesach B'Shosh Yodayim Mutal B'Hano. You have to first sell it at a time where you still have to get Hano. V'lo Yeh Inyem Mechiyos Chametz Eitzel Adem Kwaim Mitzvah Sanu Shum Lomdei. Don't turn Mechiyos Chametz into a procedure. You know, like, we do this, but it's not real. You know, a physical action. You have to know in your head that I just sold everything that I put on that shtar hashoah. I really gave away and I never intend on getting it back. Or at least I don't think I'll get it back. Don't make the price very expensive. You ask him, listen, you only gave me a down payment. You still owe me the rest of the choif. The guy says, I don't have enough money. You know, if I estimate all the chametz, it's going to be thousands of $1,000s. I don't have thousands of dollars. You know what? I'll sell it back to you. Yivakish menesheyach zivim kolas chametz. He asked that the guy sell it back to you. Now, what's important to note, and people don't always think about this, is that Motzei Pesach, You don't get your chametz back with a miracle that Pesach is over. It's yours. No, it's the guy's. And until the rabbi gets a hold of the guy and the guy sells it back, it's not yours. And there have been stories in history. I know a certain rabbi told me he couldn't get a hold of the guy. He must say Pesach. God, he ended up being in jail. But okay. The real shaila that Achrayim talking about, the real shaila that Achrayim talking about is if the guy dies. You want the guy to stay alive, at least till the end of Pesach. Because the guy died, you can have problems. The Yarshim, no Yarshim. But the point is, until the guy actually sells it back, nothing is yours.
He doesn't sell it back, the guy doesn't come up with the rest of the money.
But,
no. Does he sell it back? He just says, no, he has down payment, pay me the rest.
No, because you sold it to the guy, and now he owes you the rest, or you have to... You have a shtar that says...
Pay me by 19.
No, they don't do it like that. The way they set it up is that you bought it, it's yours. Now you owe. Again, no different than like a mortgage. You bought something, it's yours, now you got to pay...
But
if you default, okay. And a chenami. But we didn't, no, because the problem is we didn't yet estimate the value price. We do something called a shuma. We tell the guy that after Pesach, we say, listen, if you want to keep it, we're going to bring in three experts who know how to estimate the Rice Krispies and cornflakes, and they'll figure out how much everything is worth, and then we'll figure out the rest. The guy says, usually, oh, that's just not worth it. Let me sell it back to you. But until that happens, it's not yours. It belongs to the guy.
Why can't I say a week after Pesach, you have to give me the second deposit? If you don't give me the second deposit, you've lost the
contract. I'm assuming they're afraid that that sounds too tonight-like. Mm-hmm. That sounds too like, you know, we're selling it, you know, only for a certain amount of time. What? Yeah, I guess one could do it that way. I guess, theoretically, it sounds like it should be okay. The problem is if you live...
You don't have to worry about the guy dying.
Right. The shaila is, well, if you live in a different time zone. If you live in a different time zone. Right? Let's say, for example, you're selling chametz in New York with chametz in L.A., where Eretz Yisrael is even more extreme. So the way Rabbi Willick said he does it, I don't know if all Rabbi want to do this, is they do a lomdusha thing. They make the maisik kinyan back with the guy, but the chalois doesn't happen until later. Which means, at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Rabbi Willig will go to the guy, and he'll tell the guy, okay, you want to sell it back, I'm going to buy it back. So he does the Maisei Kinyan, but at 6 o'clock in L.A., if you bought the chametz back, so all those people in L.A. are either by you or by your matzah. So what he does is, he says, for those people who stipulated in their shtar, that the chalois doesn't happen until after L.A. is Ois Pesach. That's the way Rabbi Willick says he does. Okay, that's the way he says he does. But this is something that the Rabbanim have to know about. Every good shtar hashoah has, and if I'm going to be outside a different time zone, we need to work out with Eretz Yisrael. It's even more complicated. You got to make sure you work out all these things. You got to make sure you do take care of these things. I just want to mention very quickly, Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov writes in number 18. Ubederech klal loy kedai lismaych ala mechir b'shul chametz gomer. Rabbi Yaakov is also over the camp that it's not right to sell chametz gomer. V'av she'in la'asra lo ilom lashes. Rabbi Yaakov says, I'm not prohibiting the world to do it. Avo b'kom akam ha'mechir hikzas b'geder aroma v'loy kedai lismaych ala. Ubevadai. So Rabbi Yaakov says, oh, I have those people tying it to me. But well, it's better to throw things out. Bal tashchis. It's not bal tashchis. The Torah says. I remember when I first got married, so I went to my Rebbe. I said, what do I do with all this chametz? I was a big genius. I went shopping, I don't know, a month before Pesach, and I bought tons and tons of pasta and all these things. And then I realized, oh, it's almost Pesach. So I asked him, what should I do? He told me the Torah says what to do. Tashbis, susami, batechem. Supposed to burn it. Obviously, that wasn't the answer I wanted to hear, but that's the answer. The answer is the Torah says burn it. I batash, not batash, because the Torah says that's what you're supposed to do with it. So Rabbi Yaakov didn't think there's any lomdusha Torah to why it's mut. However, although Rabbi Yaakov says that, this was always something that bothered me. You're going to go grocery shopping after Pesach, you're going to go to a kosher grocery store. I guarantee you that grocery store sold their chametz. There's no question in my mind. So how can you say, I don't sell chametz gomer? But then you're going to go around Matzei Pesach, and then I'm going to buy chametz gomer. How do you have it both ways? So the answer is it's okay to do that. And Rabbi Yaakov actually writes it explicitly, it's okay to do that, because that's what we all do. So Rabbi Yaakov, if again, we're running out of time over here. So the store is allowed to do it. Now, I always have these people who come over and they say, you know, the people say, I don't sell chametz gomer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my chametz. You sell chametz gomer, so you take my chametz and your chametz, and you sell all this chametz, and that I thought was a little funny to do. But Rabbi Yaakov, very quickly, if you look at number 21, he writes, Shailo, yesh anoygim sha'af sheheim ba'atzim eina moichim chametz gomer la'akam. I don't sell chametz gomer. Mishum shechoshim l'kama chashoshes al etzim ha'mechir. Mikom ha'keim nosnam es chametzim la'akha shemachar es chametzim. I'll give my chametz to someone else who sells chametz gomer. U'la'akha ha'pesach ha'sheini ma'achlas ha'chametz shenosn lo'ya. I'll get it back from you. Is that allowed? So his answer was, that was the question. So he answers over here, number 21, he says, that's okay. Sha'oz eini elis ha'knast rabbona shachshat, meaning, on Pesach, we're worried about the real Bal Yom HaMatzah. Now it's only after Pesach, it's only Sha'oz rabbona chametz shavah, no. So to Yaakov, that there's makam to be made. That was Yaakov's opinion. Now, The Goyin had another chumrah. The Goyin didn't do that. Number 19, he writes, Achara Pesach, Ein likach min ha-shuk, ma-sh'oifin mi-kemach sh'Yisrael mishamrim, v'yayin soif v'sheikha sh'Yisrael, ki ha-mechir geruwa, al-kein la-yikna rak sh'yim sh'anach. The Vilna Goyin, not only wouldn't he sell chametz gomer, he wouldn't buy from someone who sold chametz gomer. The Vilna Goyin was talking more machmer. And the Moshe Shtemberg has in the tshuva, where he thinks faker, he thinks the minhag used to be amongst the rebbes bedavka would buy chametz from someone who sold chametz gomer. Why? The same reason why chassidim mish on the last day of Pesach. Why do chassidim eat by ikabrok and eat by other people? To show you that really I could do this the other 7 days. Why don't I do it? I do it because of, I'm personally machmer. So he says that rebbes used to go bedavka and buy chametz from someone who sold the chametz to show that I really think it's okay. I don't really think it's harama. I personally don't do it, but I could do it because you did it, and therefore I could buy my chametz from you. That's very much a Shtemberg spin on things. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah writes that l'chatchili you should really give a guy access to your house, which means you got to give him your key. Most rabbanim don't require this because people don't feel comfortable giving the key. So what we do is you tell the guy access. You tell the guy, listen, you can get into my house. You give him access, you give him an address, you tell the rabbi, listen, you tell the rabbi tells the guy, you want to get into the house, you come to me, I'll get you in. Now what happens if you're not around? So most rabbanim do is they take a phone number. It sounds somewhat funny because, so you give me your phone number. You're away. You go away for Yom Tov. So now the guy knocks on my door, Leil Pesach, and says, I want to get into Pliny's house. And Pliny, I don't have access to his house. He didn't give me a key. But I have Pliny's phone number. That's great. It's the middle of the Seder. How's that going to help me? I don't know. That's what they do. That's what Rabbanim will do today. I don't exactly understand it, but that's what they do. They don't require you to give a key. Most Rabbanim, I can't say all. And they don't require you to give your combination out to the guy, which obviously would make us all very uncomfortable. But we say, you tell the guy, don't worry. If you want to get into his house, I'll make sure you get it. Now, sometimes maybe the rabbi has the key. The rabbi could have the key. You don't have to give the key to the guy. The rabbi has the key. So if the guy knocks on the rabbi's door and says, Rabbi, I want to get into Shmer Barrel's house. You say, no problem, I'll take you. That's legitimate. That I don't think is such a problem. If Salvation was asked, what about schnapps? Right, you have people who don't sell chametz gomer, but they sell schnapps. Is that somewhat of a contradiction? So if Salvation was asked, number 24, im is chametz gomer, so So if Salvation's first answer was Lebach, the whole reason why we pulled this whole shtick was just to sell the schnapps. So you gotta sell the schnapps. Ulepamim hayoimir shiyosetoyf shloi lishol. Salvation sometimes would tell people, better don't ask me. Okay? She would tell you that sometimes the attack is considered chametz ben. So if Salvechik was not clear about what he would tell people to do, but the minigayim today is many people do sell the schnapps. The last piece of the puzzle is the kinyan that we make. You go to the rabbi and you write this beautiful star show, you tell the rabbi, I want you to be my agent to sell the chametz. And then the rabbi gives you his pen, lift up his pen, and you're doing something with the pen. What's that all about? So that's a kinyan sudr. That's kinyan sudr that you're making the rabbi your agent. So the question is, why do you need that? So if Salavajic was also troubled by this minig, as were other achrayim, because the Rambam writes beforeish in Hilchos Mechira that if I want to appoint you a shlich, I don't need to make a ma'aseh kinyan. So why do we make a ma'aseh kinyan over here? So Rav Salavechik thought that the ma'aseh, the minig is that we do it. And when what happens in a case where you're not with the rabbi? You call the rabbi on the phone. You say, Rabbi, sell me the chametz. So Rav Salavechik thought that's not the best option. He thought the better option would be is that have someone else do it. Meaning, you call the rabbi and there's someone else in your house. So have that other person do a kinyan sudr, and that will work for, as if the Rav did it, based on the kinyan called Evet Kanani. Or if Salavation thought what you should do is you should say to the rabbi, I really completely believe and I really want you to be my shliach. Because the whole reason why we do a kinyan anyways is just to make Gemir's Das. So if you can create Gemir's Das without a kinyan, so if Salavation thought that's better. But if Salavation was makbid, he really thought you should always do it in person with a ma'aseh kinyan. They quote B'shem Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe held that without a ma'aseh kinyan you can also appoint, but it's not l'chatchila. Preferably you should really go and ask the, and have the rabbi do a ma'aseh kinyan. Where does the money come in? Why does the rabbi get money? Okay, everyone knows you go to Mechir's Chametz, it always costs you money. Everyone knows that. But you gotta give some money to the rabbi. The question is this a halachic thing or this is just a nice thing? So one of the pshatim out there is that they bring down, Rav Moshe Shtemach thinks it's a halachic thing. Because again, you're making the rabbi your agent. Okay, so he's working for you. How do you know he did the job? How do you know the rabbi did the job? Ask anyone who has work, because you don't know if they do it. You know, you ask someone to do a job. You ask them to do a favor for you. Do you ever know if the favor was done? You don't know. So therefore, you make the rabbi your worker. The Gemara says, a poyel? Poyel has a chazaka, he does what the owner asks of him. Okay? Ask the bosses here if that's always true, but that's the rule. So if it says, Moshe Shtemach, you have to give the Rav money to ensure that he did it. Because if not, you don't know that he did it. However, it says, Moshe Shtemach, what happens if it's in the rabbi's contract? The rabbi has to sell chametz. That's part of his job. So then you can assume that he did. So if it says, Moshe Shtemach, in that case, maybe you don't have to pay him. Because then after me, what's he come to the rabbi and the rabbi says, I don't want to take your money. You might have to, because I need to ensure that you did it. So Moshe Shemich said that the rabbi doesn't want to take the money. What the rabbi can say is, he writes at the end, then my rav writes to levat, you achalitin letztaka. The rabbi can say, you know what, I really want you to give it to me, but instead of giving it to me, give it to a third party, and that's as if I got it. Rav Noach Isaac Oldbaum, in his Haggadah, writes in number 29, he thinks it's proper to pay the rabbi, and he comes up with alam de shechab. He says, because also you have to make the rabbi your shlich. Because if you don't make the rabbi your shlich, he's always concerned, what about the new chametz that you get between now and when you sell and when Pesach comes? So if he's my shliach, if he's my worker, so that fixes that problem, and therefore he thinks it's right to give the rabbi money. So many achrayim, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted that it's correct, you should give the rabbi money, but it might really be a halachic issue, not just a right or wrong issue. It might be the proper thing to give the rabbi money, unless it's stipulated in his contract. So then according to Moshe Shtenbuch, you don't have to worry that he did it, because his job requires that he sells the chametz.